Hey, Channel Insiders. Welcome back for part two of my interview with Echo Store and their longtime client, UVM. If you haven't watched or listened to part one yet, head on over to channelinsider.com to do that right now. In this episode, we continue to talk about what's made the Echo Store UVM partnership last for more than a decade, as well as what investments Echo Store is making in its portfolio and business growth in 2024. Mike became the CEO this past December 2023, but Mike, you were working with CC and her team as their account executive at one point in time, and you stayed on and you still have that very personal relationship with CC and with the hospital, even after all this time, and even after your responsibility list, I'm sure, expanded exponentially in the last few months. But I think that really speaks to the team that you have at Echo Store and being able to still be a part of the day-to-day.
Yeah, I don't care if we're a $5 billion global company. That'll never change. One of the unique things is we call it our 20-to-1 philosophy. We want 20 of our employees, whether that's sales, project managers, delivery engineers, touching a customer on a regular basis. And CC's probably seen 50 of those, right? But you know, that's a philosophy that we have. And additionally, we want two executive sponsors, one more on the sales side, and then one on the technical side. So having an executive sponsor is there for all of our customers, you know, small, medium, or large, and regardless of what industry they work in. But obviously with UVM Health and my history, I naturally took that role on. But that's something that we have as a standard across the board, is we want executives to have a working relationship with our customers to know that, you know, again, good, bad, or indifferent, whatever is happening day to day in the account, that they have access to leadership for an escalation path, which is really, really important. I would also say that, you know, I think we took the blueprint for how myself and some of the other co-founders cover customers. Again, all the stuff we've been talking about today. But again, it's finding that right heir apparent, right? Somebody that's got the DNA like a Caleb. You know, that wasn't just by accident. Caleb didn't just fall on our lap, right? He was somebody that we had talked to for many, many years, because again, he fit that DNA, that customer first mentality. And if you're going to bring in a new face into the organization and have support some of our longest standing larger customers, they sure as heck better support the customers the way that they're accustomed to supporting them. And you know, CC said this the other day, where regardless of your size, and we've grown 4 or 5x in the last 36 months, just tremendous growth, but we always feel like that same regional boutique partner, which was really, really nice to hear, because the minute that changes, I kind of know about it and I don't foresee that happening. But we want to make sure that every customer feels like they're our only customer, and continue to spread that feeling across the organization and all of our customers. And I think we've done a nice job of picking the right sales and technical and project management type resources and leaders to continue down that path.
I continue to feel that way. And you just said something, Mike, that, you know, if I ever don't feel that way, because we have that long-standing relationship and trust and partnership, I am very comfortable calling Mike and saying, I don't feel that way anymore. I feel that that's exactly how we still feel. We're the only customer. But I think that it also speaks to the strength of that partnership.
And Caleb and CC, I'd like to know, what are you doing to be able to continue this partnership between UVM and Echo Store, even when there isn't a cyber attack or even when there isn't a crisis? So Caleb, how are you showing up for UVM and showing that you're there even when nothing is going wrong?
Yeah. So, I mean, at the end of the day, I'd like to think of us, Echo Store, myself and my team being an extension of CC's team as needed. If they have staff that come and go or change roles, or perhaps they go through a reorg, there's always going to be tasks and things to get done, whether it's keeping the lights on or looking at new technologies that her team is responsible for. And ultimately, more likely than not, can ultimately get to all of it. And some of it could just be managing all those vendors that we talked about. Some of it could be keeping up with the maintenance of existing equipment that's in the data center today. All of those things change from quarter to quarter, or you know, month to month, depending upon what CC's team's working on. We want to have the capability, but also the resources to support any and all of it as needed. We're never doing all of it at once. It can change month to month. But anything that her team does, we want to also be able to do and be there when they need us.
And they are. I think I talk to Caleb every week, at least once a week, I think, whether it be a contract renewal, an extension, just a check-in. How are you guys doing? You know, we have a lot of new hardware we're installing. Do you need help? Do you need hands? He's always offering to support us. throughout any phase of a life cycle of equipment or system. So he definitely helps keep me in line. We've got a lot of contracts and they are due, I feel like, every other day. And Caleb has organized them for me and shares them with me. He says, heads up, this is coming up.
I said large environment. It's a large operation. And I don't want to get too specific on it too, but I also want to make it seem like it's a managed service, because it's not, right? That's still something that EchoStore just delivers for our customers. It's not a time and materials engagement or anything like that. It's something that we want to make sure that we can work with them as they look to implement new technologies and augment their environment. We're just there assisting and facilitating.
Yeah, I don't get an SLA.
Yes, correct.
Yeah, I don't get an SOW. I don't get time and material bills. They're just there.
I was going to ask about that. Like, is there a price tag prior to them showing up? But it does not sound that way.
I know that's not the way MJ's done business when I've worked with him prior when I was at a vendor. And I don't think expected that's something EchoStore wants to do going forward either. No, I think that's part of what we like to offer our clients.
There's nothing more insulting than being in a pinch and needing something and then asking for a $2,000 SOW. I mean, it goes against all of our core and ethical, you know, business values. It's just not how we operate. That's not what the partner experience is all about. If you're going to leverage my team for pre-sales architecture, best practice type deployments, hey, you mind just hopping on a Zoom for half an hour? We got something, you know, kind of funky going on in the data center. That is absolutely not warranting any sort of cost or statement of work. Now, if we're going to do an elaborate, you know, 10-week data center move, and there's a lot of different moving parts there, and we need to bring in moving trucks and assign PMs and put in, you know, 10, 12 bodies, again, maybe, you know, TBD, but maybe not, right? So it all depends on kind of what we're doing at that time. I would say regarding how we support our customers, Katie, particularly, you know, the health network, is we always say we like to have weekly, biweekly, monthly cadences, right? And those are, you know, again, hitting a multitude of topics, right? Hey, let's sync up biweekly. We're going to talk about compute, storage, cloud, security, and ServiceNow, right? We're going to kind of hit them all and have breakout sessions and you know, next steps for each of those. Again, to CeCe's point, we often find ourselves talking almost daily, right? But when you start to talk about all those other manufacturer partners, they all want to talk to CeCe daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly, right? So it's really establishing those cadences. And we're not trying to prevent the manufacturers from meeting with CeCe, because obviously it's important that they understand their technology roadmaps and what those guys are doing, right? But I think having a monthly or a quarterly with the manufacturers, but almost having a weekly and biweekly touch point with your partner, I think lends to a better experience, right? Because you're not getting overloaded with, you know, repetitive conversation, which I think is quite helpful. I would give you an example of what I've seen out there in the field. You know, you get a vendor, they have a piece of hardware or a software subscription or whatever managed services subscription, whatever it might be, that's up on July 1st of 2026, right? They're probably going to wait to March 2026 or June and say, hey, CeCe, this is due. What do you want to do with it? We're getting ahead of that now, 24 months ahead. And sometimes it's almost nagging to a fault to CeCe and her team, like, yeah, we get it. It's July 2026. But at the end of the day, if we're not talking about that 24 months, 22 months, 18 months in advance, time flies. It's going to sneak up on you. And all of a sudden, you've got a situation where you might need to now prolong a legacy hardware, for example, or you've got an unbudgeted situation where CeCe's like, I didn't predict this $100,000 subscription renewal. It's not in my budget. I don't want to roll that upstream. You know, what are we doing here, right? So it's both budget predictability, but also, again, what are we doing with that technology in the next couple of years? Because technology changes very quickly. So we might look at that and say, hey, that application's running on on-prem hyperconverged infrastructure. Hey, in July 2026, we want to move that to the cloud, right? Well, it might take 18 months, 12 months to move it out there, 6 months, right? So we have to get ahead of that, make a decision of what the end state is, and then how we're going to get there, right? And then ultimately, if we do move it out to the cloud and there's a 50% reduction in cost, we're shifting costs from capital to operational, CeCe can then go to her executive leadership and say, hey, we moved this to the cloud. It's part of our standard. We saved $50,000, right? So it has a trickle effect of getting ahead of this. When you're a vendor or an order taker, which will never be, you wait till you get a reminder in your calendar or within your CRM, send CeCe quote for subscription or hardware, right? And that just puts the customer in a really bad spot. So you really have to get ahead of this, both technology-wise and financially, to show value, right? Or continue to show value.
So Cece, before we move on to some channel-specific questions that I have, I'd like to know from you, for the audience that is watching, whether they're a CIO or whether they're an MSP really looking to expand their customer base, what are some of the things that you would advise the CIO audience to look for when they're recruiting a partner?
Some of what we have and with our partnership with EchoStore is the Open Communication Summit. It comes over time and building that relationship and trust, but their willingness to engage right up front. The strategic planning piece is huge because that helps us align. I know Mike was talking about the budgeting aspect from support, but also for, you know, technology changes. For me, my job is to think 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the road, right? So having a partner that has that thought, right, that forward thinking, and is looking down the road with that understanding, but really finding a partner that can connect and understand what your mission is and what is important to you and what your job is, right? For us, it's delivering patient care and knowing that they understand that, they respect that, and they feel it also and can relate to it. I don't know how you can pick that up if you're looking at new partners, because it does come over time. So talking to other organizations may help, but that's something that's really important. That's probably the most important thing, is they understand our mission and our values and support us with that.
Beautifully put. Thank you so much, Cece. Now, Mike and Caleb, I've got a couple questions for you considering the state of the channel and the technology space right now. Is there any kind of tech or any vendors, any technology providers in general that you've got your eye on?
You know, from my side, Katie, you know, going back to the four pillars I mentioned earlier, right? You know, so we're a laser focused, very fit focused organization, especially as we look to grow and bring in new technology partnerships. As I mentioned earlier, we're vetting these technologies out, you know, meeting with Gartner ourselves, right? And understanding what fits in our portfolio and what does not. But next gen data center, you know, that for us is inclusive of cloud, both public, private, and hybrid, right? So we're continuing to, you know, work with the AWS and Microsoft folks and continuing to further those partnerships. I mentioned digital and modern workspace around ServiceNow and Microsoft, but the real area that we're doubling down quite a bit lately is around security. You know, we talked about, you know, the unfortunate event that happened at the health network. And within that zero trust framework that we've built out, cloud security is one that I'm keeping an eye on quite a bit. So you look at a lot of changes in that space. We've got great partnerships with, you know, Wiz, for example. We're doing quite a bit with Zscaler as well in the security space. But, you know, really looking at some of the cloud security players in that CNAPP space has been pretty exciting for us. You know, a lot of growth in that space. And again, security is continuing to be a high growth segment of the market. Lastly, everybody's talking about AI, right? Generative AI. And, you know, everybody's got a strategy and a go-to-market in that space. You know, we're trying to further our own go-to-market regarding AI and how it ties back to those particular pillars. For example, in the next-gen data center, everybody's talking about GPUs, right? We just launched a big partnership with NVIDIA. We were just out at their conference. You know, what does that look like and how do we bring that back to our customer base? And then verticalizing our focus around generative AI as well with healthcare specifically, right? So for Cece, you know, it's disrupting every industry. What does that mean for healthcare, right? That could be increasing speed and accuracy of, you know, diagnosing patients, right? Okay, great, we understand that, but what does that mean for Cece from an infrastructure perspective? How do we outfit her infrastructure to be built for scale, whether that's GPUs, that's, you know, larger high-performing parallel NFS, you know, unstructured storage systems, right? That is what makes sense to run in the cloud versus on-prem. If it is on-prem, how do we outfit her data centers to support the power and cooling demands that AI workloads can yield, right? So everybody's talking about this terminology. It's how we bring it back to our pillars, how we verticalize that and bring it back to our customers and then get ahead of it, right? Great that we talk to a lot of infrastructure folks and cloud folks and security folks, but what about when there's a data scientist in the room? And then now they're interfacing with infrastructure and they're giving their requirements to Cece's team. And then Cece's team comes to us. You know, hey, we're having a lot of conversations with both data scientists in the infrastructure. So let's bring the party together and be more strategic and outfit a next gen infrastructure that's going to support, you know, AI workloads for the future, right? So definitely, again, to recap for us, doubling down on our core competencies, but cloud security is very interesting for me. And then following the AI trend and how it ties back to our verticalized customers and then our pillars.
And I'll add specifically for those areas, cloud security, AI, ML, whatever the case may be, I've found that what also separates EchoStore is we like to pick a few technologies that we can have expertise in to MJ's point earlier in the conversation, that we are going to have vetted out in our own lab, kind of taking it through the paces to make sure that we want to place a bet on that partnership with that vendor. We're in that process right now for a number of these technologies because this is a newer space, right? Everyone will have some type of AI, ML, go-to-market strategy, whether it's a compute vendor or a storage vendor or a software vendor, right? Everyone's going to have that as part of their pitch to our customers like CC and our team. We're right now trying to make sure we understand those and we want to place the right bet on the right technology so that if CC or some of our other customers want to choose it, we can support it, potentially service it, and be confident that it's going to work. And I still feel like we're in that phase right now, as I'm sure a lot of folks are in the IT space, trying to figure out what all this means and ultimately where is this market heading. So that goes for cloud security, that goes for AI, and that still goes for the traditional data center technologies that we know and have, you know, worked with today, like backup and computing.
And I got to ask about the growth that EchoStore is experiencing. Mike, you said it yourself, it's been a really exciting 36 months. What does the future look like this year for EchoStore? What are you planning for and what benchmarks can you point to saying we're accomplishing our goals?
I think outside of what we talked about, which is technology trends and focusing, you know, from an innovation perspective, it's continuing to recruit and add top industry talent, right? That's not easy to find, right? So we're going to continue to add the best folks that we can bring into the organization. Again, sales, marketing, leadership, engineering, project managers, delivery folks, finance folks, right? It doesn't really matter. We want to make sure that we have the best in breed folks on our team. It's part of that mission. We want to continue to scale geographically as well, right? So finding great talent is one thing, but finding great talent in new geographic areas can also be, you know, fairly difficult as well. So we had a successful launch of our tri-state operation, which is down in Windsor, Connecticut. We have a great team there. It started with four folks. We're up to about 25, which in 2 years is a lot of growth. Stationed down there in that territory, they're working with some of the largest insurance providers in the state, a lot of financial services, a lot of the power utility space. So, you know, these guys are doing a great job in expanding down into that region. From there, we want to continue to move south down the East Coast, right? So we have an eye on, you know, New Jersey and the DC area, and then continue to go southeast from there. So I think if we use the same playbook that we have in New England, which we kind of grew out to the tri-state, upstate New York, and continue to move southeast, I think while maintaining that culture and some of the things we've talked about today, that boutique type feel and specialized partner type feel, I think we'll continue to see the numbers and top line revenue continue to grow top into the right. But we need to have a more well-balanced business, right? So again, outside of the data center, security, Microsoft consulting, ServiceNow, managed services, professional services, but I truly feel like we have the right infrastructure to support that growth, which again, the last couple of years has been 50% year-over-year growth, which is just insane to say out loud, but it's the truth. So having the right infrastructure in place, that's financial operations, the operational aspects of the business, the right engineering folks in place, and then the right innovation team keeping an eye on, you know, what's happening 4, 8, 12 quarters ahead. I think we're in a great position to continue to grow. The other thing I would mention is a lot of that growth has been done organically, right? We're not looking for third party, you know, funding. We're not private equity backed. We're not looking to be acquired. If anything, we're looking to continue to grow and be the acquirers. So if we continue to be in growth mode, and again, look for the right DNA, the right talent, the right potential companies to acquire and fit them into the existing culture that we've had certainly over the last 19 years, but more importantly, the last 3 to 4, which has yielded those incredible results, I think sky's the limit for us.
And finally, folks, if I am in the market for looking for a new partner or just want to discuss what my options are and learn more about EchoStore, who can I reach out to? Where can I find you and where can I go?
Sure. You can go to echostore.com. Obviously, it's our website. You know, we've got a number of social media, you know, presence, whether it's LinkedIn or, you know, Twitter, et cetera, right? But reaching out, you can certainly go to our website, you know, put in an inquiry there that routes back to our marketing team, our PR team, as well as our leadership team. So I would route you right through the website and contact us there. And we will respond quick as we always do with our customers and partners.
And I'll add, if you're in the Northeast, I'd wager we have an EchoStore employee somewhere nearby that'd be willing to drive and say hello in person. So we always wouldn't come to the office for sure. So.
Is there a costume involved in that, though?
That's only on Halloween.
Thanks again to Mike, Caleb, and CC for joining me today. And thank you for watching or listening. Check out all episodes of Channel Insider Partner POV on channelinsider.com or watch on our YouTube page at Channel Insider _news and trends. You could take us with you wherever you go with the podcast version of this episode and all episodes available on your favorite podcast listening platforms like Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and follow wherever possible to never miss an episode. We put out a new video and podcast every week. Once again, I'm Katie Bovoso, and I'll see you next time.